So we can start again. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here comes the most fun part. Usually, Windows and Windows Phone developers fall in love with salary forms. The only downside is that we're going to see it's not the best solution for every project. So it really depends by the project you're working on. But if you are a Windows and Windows Phone developer and you work with XAML, you work with all this stuff, you'll love it because you'll find yourself at home. So what is XAML Forms? As I've introduced at the beginning, XAML Forms is a way not just to share the user the business logic, but also the user interface. And it's possible thanks to the XAML language. Everyone knows what is the XAML language, right? Because I've mentioned many times today. Okay, so you use the XAML language, and all the XAML controls that you add to your page are translated into native controls at runtime. So this means having a shared user interface, but at the same time having keep following the user guidelines of the platform. So the user, when we'll open our application, he will see an interface that is familiar to you, to him. It supports all the XAML features, dependency properties, bindings, triggers. Also, if you have worked with the model view, model pattern, you can reuse all your skill and all your knowledge in this world. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this morning, it's not the same Microsoft XAML, which means that there are a lot of things in common, and under the hood they work in the same way, but there are some differences in naming conventions. So some properties can have different names, some controls can have different names, and so on. XAML Forms supports not only from a specific version of the free platforms in advance, but it's not a big deal, I guess, because basically it doesn't support just the last version of the platform. Are we talking about two iOS versions ago, two Windows Phone versions ago? The only problem can be Android, because if you have to target very old devices or very cheap devices, you can still find on the market devices, for example, with Android 3.2. And recently, XAML Forms has added in preview, so you don't find this support in the stable packages, but you need to use the preview version. You have support to Windows Store apps for Windows 8.1 or Windows Phone 8.1. So you have access, you can create application or universal apps, so application that can target the Windows runtime. How a XAML Forms project look like? You have a shared project, which is the project where you are adding all your business logic and UI, and then you have a specific project for every platform. The difference between XAML and XAML Forms is that these are XAML in Android and XAML in iOS projects, so the same we've seen in the rest in the previous slides. But the difference here is that these are dummy projects. So you go into the project and you won't find anything special, just some code that initializes the XAML Forms infrastructure. All the code, all the fun happens here. So you work mainly with the shared project. XAML Forms, like Windows Phone or Windows Apps, has a starting point, which is the app class. And the app class does two things. It allows to override and manage the application lifecycle events. So you can have on start, on sleep, on resume, when the app starts, when the app is suspended, and when it's resumed. And it's cross-platform, so it works on Android, iOS, and Windows Phone. And you define which is the starting page of your application. So with this new menu, we are telling that assigned to the main page property, we are telling to the application that main view will be the first page of the application. There are two ways to define the UI. The first one is to use XAML. The second one is to create the XAML in code. If someone likes this more than this, go out, please. No, sorry, just joking. I'm telling you this because, for example, there's Charles Petzold, which is a very popular writer and developer. But don't ask me why, but Charles Petzold seems to prefer this approach. So the new preview of the book covers also the XAML part. But if you take the first edition of the preview book is writing on Xamarin Forms, basically 99% of the samples are like this. So it's important to know that this approach exists. But personally, I don't like it. I'm a Windows Phone developer, I'm a Windows developer, I like XAML, I want to write XAML, so I prefer this approach. This is how a simple Xamarin Forms project looks like. As you can see, we have the shared project, and the specific projects are just dummy projects. So if I go into the main page of the Xamarin Forms app, the only thing it does is calling the init method of Xamarin Forms and passing to the load application method the starting point of the Xamarin Forms app. The same if I go here to the Android app, the main activity just in its forms launches the application, so nothing special. All the fun happens here. So here we have the class that defines which is the main page of the application. And the main page of the application, it's, surprise, surprise, a XAML file with a code behind file. So in the XAML file, you define the UI using the Xamarin Forms control, and in code behind you manage the interaction with these controls. This is the code behind approach. You can use also the model view model approach, which means having a class that manages the data that needs to be displayed, and through the binding context, which is the data context of the XAML, you connect the view model with the view. But for example, let me delete this, that was just to show you an example of the standard initialization. What I've done here is that I created a list view control, which is used to display some collection of data. And then I define the item template. The syntax is the same of a standard XAML. The only difference is that in Windows, in Xamarin Forms, you need to embed the content you want to display into the view property of a view cell. In a Windows Phone application, the content would be defined directly into the data template. But except for this, it's a list view with an item template, and the item template is the XAML that is used to define one cell of the list. So in this case, we are just displaying an image. And then we have an activity indicator, which is a way to show to the user that we are doing something, please wait. In code behind, we are using the Marvel APIs, we are using the same portable class library that we used in the Android project, and we are asking for a collection of characters, and then we take this IEnumerable, so it's a generic collection, we convert it into a observable collection. The observable collection, it's a special type of collection which implements the iNotify property change and interface, which means that every time something changes in the collection, so you add a new item, you remove an item, you reorder the items, the list view automatically updates its layout to display these changes. And we are saying that the collection of data is the item source of our list view. And this works on all platforms. So if you remember how we created a list, a collection of data on iOS, this is much more simpler and much more effective. So I launched the application on the Windows Phone emulator, which incredibly works. It's still trying to connect to my Xamarin build server for iOS, don't know why. Okay, we launched the application, and all the controls we have placed are converted into Windows Phone controls. So you see the progress in the activity indicator has become a progress bar, and here we have a list view with the list of characters. If I launch the same on the Android, on the fastest Android emulator on the world, you can notice how fast is the swipe experience. Okay, it's like having a real phone. I forgot to deploy. I deployed the old version. No, sorry. It's Android, not Windows. Deploy succeeded. But where? It should have closed the app. This should be, this one. But let me try to uninstall it. How you uninstall it? Probably no. You have to go to settings. Or maybe it's enough to storage. Apps. No. Let me see if I do this clean and rebuild, if it's enough to force the recreation of the package. Rebuild. Okay, succeeded. Let's try again. Let's do this. Let's launch the debugger this time so you can see what's happening. Removing previous version of application sounds promising. There's no rush, don't worry. Synchronizing assemblies, the bar is moving. Okay, deploy succeeded. Let's see if we are lucky this time. We can get the real app. Okay, maybe. I don't see any more the old app. What? Let me do one more last test. Okay, yeah, nothing. It happened also. It seems that Visual Studio doesn't like too much this emulator because before it was more or less crashing. Okay, let's do this the hard way. So this is Summer Informs running. Die. Die fast, please. Die quickly? No, it's not dying. Okay, it's dead. Let's try to call it back. I'm also installing Office in the meanwhile. I like... I don't know what's doing here. No. Okay, it's working. Okay, let's try. I would really like to show it on both platforms because I think it's the best way to see the power of Xamarin Informs. But I don't want to spend the whole day trying to deploying on the emulator. So let's do one more try and then set a startup project. Deploy. So build started, packaging, waiting for device, detecting packages, terminating running application, ok, sta killando l'applicazione perché era aperta, getting installation path, it's killing the application since it was running, and now it should deploy it, maybe, ok, deploy succeeded, let's see if it's the right time, let's launch the app. No, it becomes black and it dies. Okay. Ah no, it's doing something. Sorry, sorry, it was too fast for our perception. So one thing that you can notice now is that the progress indicator is the Android one. It's not anymore the progress bar that you saw before. And maybe I will send you a photo from the flight of the list of comics. Maybe. Oh, it stopped. It's coming, it's coming. Yeah, it's... So you can see that Xamarin Forms allows you to create apps without knowing the details of the platform. Meaning that I've created a list of data, but I don't know anything about array adapters, about adapters, about custom adapters, about get cells. I just created a list view, and under the hood, it takes care for me of creating the adapters, creating the cells, creating the UI, the list view control. It's doing everything for me. Now, no, Cordova later. Let's don't mix things. Pages and navigation. When you work with cross, we've seen that when you work with other platforms, every platform has its own way to manage navigation. So for example, on Windows Phone, you have the hardware back button. So usually a Windows Phone application doesn't provide directly in the user interface controls to move from one page to the other. You have the way to move forward, like I press a button, I tap an element on the list and so on, but I don't have a back button because the Windows Phone users are used to use, again, the back button. This is not the case for other platforms. iOS doesn't have a back button. So in this case, both Android and iPhone adds a navigation bar at the top that allows users to move back and forth between the pages. So Xamarin Forms solves this problem by adding a set of additional pages. So when you want to display some content to the user, you work with content page. Content page is the base page that displays some content to the user. The page you've seen before in the demo with the list of comics, it was a content page. Then a content page can be nested into other pages. So if you want that this page provides navigation features, you include it into a navigation page. If you want to have multiple sections of your application, you create multiple pages and you add them as children of a tablet page, or of a carousel page if you want a gallery, or a master detail page if you want master detail scenarios. This is an example. So I have two different content pages which are embedded into a tablet page control. So what happens is that the tablet page control renders these sections using the native control of the platform. So it's using a pivot control on Windows Phone, and it's using a tab on Android and iOS. The difference is that on Android the tabs are at the top and on iOS are at the bottom. Navigation is performed using a class called Navigation, which is made available to you using in a content page. So in a content page you have access to this navigation class. And you can perform navigation forward, push async, or back, pop async. You can also perform modal view navigation. So you have a push modal async and pop modal async. A modal view is a page that lives outside the navigation framework. So it's displayed in full screen. Usually it hides the navigation bar at the top. And if you want to allow the user to go back to the previous page, you need to add something like a button to provide this experience. The navigation page is connected to one of the most important things when you create an application with Xamarin Forms, which is that you need to test your apps on multiple platforms. Don't just, well, the Windows Phone emulator is the only one that is working for me right now. Let's test the app just on the Windows Phone emulator. No, because there are some things that can work on one platform and on the other not, and navigation is one of them. Since Windows Phone doesn't have the concept of navigation, meaning that you have a navigation bar or stuff like that, if you go into a content page and you call the navigation.pushAsync method, it simply works. If you do the same on Android and iOS, you get an exception, because the content page is not embedded into a navigation page. So remember, always embed a content page into a navigation page if you want to provide navigation features. However, this requirement is easy to achieve, because navigation page, when you want to have navigation, you don't have to embed every content page into a navigation page. It's enough that the starting point of the navigation is inside a navigation page. So 99% of the time, what you will do in your application is this. The first page of the application is embedded into a navigation page, and this will get to you navigation in all the other pages that you can create and display to the user. And this is, in this application I've added two different pages. One is called Detail View, which contains a stack layout, which is the stack panel, with a couple of labels. I want to display the name of the character that is selected. And here instead I have another list view, because I want to display the list of comics where this character is appearing. One thing that I forgot to mention, but probably it's obvious considering the nature of the platform, you don't have a designer for Xamarin Forms, because all the things are translated in different ways according to the platform. So you don't have a way to design the page with a designer. Then I changed a bit the code we've seen before, because in my list view, I've added and I subscribed to an event called item selected, which is triggered when the user taps on an item. So I have a method in code behind called item selected. And what I do is to grab a reference to the selected item from the selected item property. And then I create a tab page, because I want to redirect the user to a new page where you can see at the same time the name of the name and the description of the character and the list of comics. So I create a new tab page, and I add as children a new instance of the other content pages. And then I push the navigation not to a content page, but to the tab page I just created. So what happens here is that, let's launch first the Windows Phone application, which is the faster one. No, not on the Windows 10 emulator. The Windows 8.1 is enough. So now we will start to see, for real, how Xamarin Form manages the UI differences. The previous example, this page is just a list, so it looks the same on both platforms. But when I tap here, now you can see that I'm doing something that is following the Windows Phone guidelines. So I have a pivot, I have an header of the pivot with the name of the character I selected, and I can swipe here and see the list of comics. If I launch this on Android, let's see, deploy, if you want another break in the meantime. I know that there's plenty of coffee. Okay, let's close before something bad happens. Okay, with this. Packaging the application, waiting for device, detecting the package, copying to the device. Ready? No, it's not true. Still doing something. Getting installation path. Synchronizing assemblies. No rush. No worry. Okay, synchronizing assemblies. This is the last step. I don't know which assembly. Oh, no, maybe it's done, but it's not updated. Okay, so if we go here. No, I don't want to go to widgets. Let's go here. Step 2. Okay. When we see, we've learned that when you see the black screen, it's a good sign. It means that it's doing something. This is the emulator fault because the internet is fast now and connected. Okay. If I tap on an item, as you can see, I have the same experience but tailored for an Android user. So the name of the character I've selected is displayed in the application, in the navigation bar, which is the bar which I can tap to go back. And the separation between the two is made using a tab bar with a big progress indicator. It's a tab bar with where the user can type on, can select a section on the top and see the details of, or the list of comics that where this character appears.
I have a question.
Sure.
Does this navigation take fragments on tablets? Like, you know, it's called fragments on
Yeah, it should. I haven't tested yet, but it should. Because it's using the same navigation approach tailored for tablet and phones, so it should use the same approach. Then we have layout. So how you can create the layout of your application? Let's do a quick recap of all the controls that you have in your application. Like the standard XAML here, you have layout controls, which are used to define the layout of the page. So they don't, they are not visually rendered, but they define how the nested the children controls are placed across the page. And you have stack layout, absolute layout, relative layout, grid layout. If you are a XAML developer, it should be familiar to you. So stack layout is the stack panel. Absolute layout is a sort of canvas. Relative layout is something that it's been introduced in Windows 10, which is the relative panel. You have the grid. The stack layout, it's the stack panel of the XAML world, and it works exactly in the same way. So it's the name is different, but every control inside it is placed one below the other. If you want, you can change the orientation property to horizontal, and they are displayed right after the other. And this is how a stack layout looks on each platform. The grid instead, it's exactly the same of Windows and Windows Phone. So the same name, the same properties, the same behavior. It's used to define, you can define rows and columns, and using this attached property, define where a control displays into the grid. So for example, this means that this control is placed at the first row in the first column, at the first row in the second column, and so on. And this is how a grid control looks like. Then there are other controls. You have the absolute layout, which is like the canvas that you can arrange the elements in absolute positions. You have the scroll view, which is like the scroll viewer in XAML, and it's a way to display content that it's bigger than the size of the page. So if you have a lot of content with a scroll view, the user can scroll and see the other content. You have label to display text. You have image, display image. List view, we've just seen it, it's a way to display collection of data. You have box view, which is a way to draw a rectangle. Or you have also the web view, if you need to display HTML content inside a Xamarin Forms application. If you want to get something from the user, so allow the user to interact with your application, you can have buttons. The only difference between the standard XAML is that the text, in XAML, the button has a content property because it can be a complex one. You can also assign custom XAML to the content of a button, not just text. Here instead you have just text, so the property is called text. And the click event is called clicked and not click. If one of you would like to ask me why Xamarin Forms has decided to do these minor changes, please don't, because I don't know the answer. Date picker and time picker are used to select date and time. Entry is the text box. If you need to input multiple lines of text, editor. And then there's the picker, which is the list picker that is used to choose from a list of items. You have the search bar, which is like the entry, but it embeds features to provide search. So for example, on Android and iOS, you get the lens icon that the user can tap to start the search. You have the slider to get a value from a range. You have the stepper, which are two buttons to increase or decrease the numeric value. So I want, it's an application to make orders, and I want a quick button to increase the number of pieces that I've ordered. And the switch is the toggle switch control, so if you need to have settings like on, off. If you want to show the progress of an operation, you can use the activity indicator, which is used when you need to display when you are doing an operation which is blocking the application, which means that until this operation is completed, the user won't be able to use it. Like before, I've used the activity indicator because until all the characters were loaded, the user wasn't able to do anything with the application because there was no content. The progress bar, instead, it's used when a generic operation is in progress, and the progress bar can also support the value. So for example, it's useful when you are downloading a file and you want to display the exact position of the operation. You have maps, which are not included in Xamarin Forms, but they are distributed using a separate package. It's also a package by Xamarin, but it's a separate package. And it has some common features, so push pins, geocoding, zooming, different map types. However, since the three platforms, all of three platforms requires that to use a map, you need to register the application because they will provide you a key to register and to use the map. You can't use it for free, meaning yes, it's free, but you need to register the application. You need to follow the guidelines of each platform. So the controller will allow you to specify the Windows Phone key, the iOS key, the Google key, but you have to do it three times, basically, because this is not something that Xamarin can manage, because the credential required for the maps are managed directly by the owner of the platforms. You have also a toolbar items property, which is a collection of toolbar items, which is rendered on iOS and Android as items in the navigation bar, and on Windows Phone as a bar, like this. So on Windows Phone you have the traditional app bar with two buttons, and on iOS and Android you have two buttons at the top. Sharing the code. So far, we've seen, okay, Xamarin Forms allows me to have a great amount of shared code. Which are the ways we can use to share code in a Xamarin Forms application? There are two ways. One is called a shared project, which should be familiar to you if you have worked with Universal Windows App. The shared project is a special kind of template that has been created, has been added with Universal Apps. And basically, it's a way to share files between two projects, but at the same time, the files are placed in one single position. So when you create a Universal Windows app, what happens is that since right now with Windows 8.1, you have a lot of code shared between the two platforms, but you still have two different projects, since we still have two different stores where to submit the app. What happens is that you have, when you create a universal app, you have a project for Windows, a project for Windows Phone, and then you have a shared project. When you add the code and data and the images and the resources and assets to the shared project, and you compile the Windows or the Windows Phone application, the Visual Studio takes care of taking all the files from the shared project and copying them into the specific platform project. It's an approach similar to the linking one that is provided by Visual Studio. So basically, you have the file just in one place, but it's linked in different projects. To manage the platform the differences between each platform, because at some point you will have probably to do something that is specific for one platform, you need to use conditional compilation. Conditional compilation means that the code you are going to write will be compiled only against one platform. So if you are compiling against Windows Phone, all the code that is inside the Android conditional compilation block will be completely ignored. So it's not a traditional if-else, because in this case the code is not executed, is not compiled at all. Because the problem is that if I'm creating a Windows Phone app, the UI View Controller class won't exist, so the project wouldn't compile. The other approach is using portable class libraries. Portable class libraries are a special project that it's unlike the shared one, outputs a DLL. So at the end, when you can build the portable class library and get a shared DLL that you can share with your colleagues, with your friends, on NuGet. You can publish on NuGet. Well, maybe someone likes to share with friends libraries, who knows? But you can publish on NuGet. So in fact, portable class library are nowadays very often for NuGet packages when it makes sense, because this way they can be used by any platform. When you create a portable class library, you can define the number of platforms you want to support, and the portable class library is compiled with a specific profile that allows you to use the minimum set of APIs that are available on each platform. So the more platform you add, the less APIs you have. So for example, if you create a portable class library for Windows Phone 8.1 and Windows 8.1, you will have access to all the Windows Runtime APIs, because they are both based on the same platform. If you start adding, for example, compatibility to Xamarin or the .NET framework, things will change, because, for example, the concept of storage is completely different from a mobile application and a traditional desktop application. So all the storage APIs will disappear, basically, because it will disappear because they are not shared across every platform. And it doesn't support conditional compilation, because in this case you are not compiling a library against a project, but you are compiling a library that lives on its own. Connected to this topic, there's another topic, which is managing the differences. So far we've seen that everything is cool, we can share everything, we can do everything just once, but the application we've seen so far was just a very simple application that displays some data. so there wasn't a tight interaction with the platform. However, at some point you may have this requirement. You may want to access to geolocation, you may want to use notification, you may want to use something that maybe it's implemented in every platform. Geolocation services are available in every platform, but they are working in different ways and with different APIs on each platform. So, which is the approach? In the shared project, you can use conditional compilation. So in your class inside the shared project, you can do something like this. So if Windows, the Xamarin project already comes with some predefined compilation symbols, so you can do, if Windows Phone, use Windows Phone APIs, use Android APIs, use iOS APIs. And the code inside here is compiled only when you are creating the iOS project or the Android project or the Windows Phone project. Personally, I advise against this approach for one, mainly for one thing. In a universal Windows app for Windows, the shared project approach works great because between Windows and Windows Phone, you have 90% more or less of code in common. So the situation is in which you need to add the conditional compilation are not so often. Maybe some difference in settings, maybe some difference in managing the back button, since we don't have a back button on the desktop, but that's all. Instead, on Windows and Windows Phone, instead on the other Xamarin Forms, sorry, you probably end up to write a lot of code inside here, because there are many differences across Windows Phone, iOS, and Android. So personally, I don't like this approach, because this approach will require you to have a huge class which contains all the code for all the platforms. And when something wrong happens, go figure where the thing is happening, where which code gets compiled, and so on. The other problem is that Visual Studio doesn't like too much this approach on Xamarin Forms. So with conditional compilation, you may start to get all sorts of weird errors with IntelliSense. Another approach... The other approach is to sharing the code using portable class libraries. So with portable class library, we said that we don't have a way to use conditional compilation. So how we can achieve this goal with a much more clean approach, in my opinion, which is to have in the portable project an interface that just describes the operation that you want to do. So for example, let's say that you want to detect if the phone is connected to internet before doing something. And in this case, you can't do this with a single APIs, because to detect the connection, you need to use some APIs on Windows Phone, some APIs on Android, and some other APIs on iOS. So in the interface that you create in the portable project, you just say, I have an interface called iNetworkService, which describes a method is connected to internet and returns a Boolean. That's all. I just describe the operation. I don't create the code that performs the operation. Then I go in each specific platform project and I add a new class that inherits from my interface and implements my is connected to internet method. On iOS, I will use the iOS APIs. On Android, I will use the Android APIs. On Windows Phone, I will use the Windows Phone APIs. Then I have a class called the Dependency Service that takes care of giving back to me the correct implementation for the platform I'm working with. So this is just a recap of what I said. You have a common interface in the shared project, the Portable Class Library project, and then you have a specific implementation of each class. Each class is decorated with this attribute, and this attribute will help you to connect the things and to make the dependency service working in the proper way. So let's see an example of this. Thank you. Let's see an example of this in the step 3. So, I want to add the speech API features in my application. I want to the phone to read to me the description of the character instead of reading it. Speech APIs is one of the things that is implemented in every platform, but with different APIs. So what I do is I create an iText-to-speech interface, which just describes that I want a method called speak, which takes as input the text I want to read. And then I go to my platform projects, and for example, I say that the text-to-speech class implements the iText-to-speech interface. And here, I'm implementing the speak method using this Windows Phone APIs. In this case, we have a class called Speech Sensitizer, which uses a method speak text async to read the text. On Android, for example, I get this. It's a little bit different because Android uses other APIs, but in the end, I have also in this case a speak method which uses the Android APIs to speak and read the text I've provided. In the shared project, what I do is that when I'm in the data view, I've added a button in the application bar or at the top, according to the platform. And when I press it, I ask to the dependency service to give me the current implementation of the iText-to-speech class. And here, I will get the specific object I implemented in the platform. So I can perform the speak method and be sure that it's using the proper implementation. Let's see an example. Since I have so many other things to tell you. I will, if it's okay for you, I will show you just the Windows Phone demos. My goal was to show you the UI differences, but we've seen with the other demos. Now we are focusing on more on different things, so I was just to show you how it works. And if I launch the application and I get my comics, my bad, sorry. The library I use to work properly requires that JSON.NET, which is the serializer used by the library, needs to be installed also in the specific project and not just in the portable class library. Come on, you get? Okay. Now it should work. Okay. Now you can see that I have a new icon here. And when I tap on it, you can see that if I place the cursor here, the speech class is a winphone.services.text2speech. So the dependency service returned to me the incorrect implementation of the class of the platform where I'm running the application. So if I continue, okay, this on Windows Phone, the speech APIs requires a specific capability. So if I don't enable it, I get an exception. Do you want to see the phone or you're reading the stuff for me, or I can skip it? Okay. Maybe you are interested in the story of Captain America. I don't know. Let's get back to the other thing. I've mixed a little bit things. Xamarin Forms also offers a class called Device, which can be useful to manage differences between the platforms just directly in the XAML. So it has mainly two purposes. The first one is that it's able to detect the current platform, so you can perform some conditional code. And it works both in code. So in code you can do if device dot platform equal to Windows Phone do something, and on XAML. So I can define that a XAML property, a property of a controller, will have a different value according to the platform. And the other point, the other purpose of the class is to provide some cross-platform methods. So you have open URI, which will invoke a URI and open the browser, or open every, if there's a protocol registered by the operating system, no matter which is the platform. You can start a timer, or you can perform operation on the main thread, which is useful when you have operations that are performed on a background thread and they need to interact with the UI thread. I don't know if you're familiar with the dispatcher concept, but basically when you perform an operation on a background thread and you try to access to do something with the UI thread, like displaying something in a control of the XAML, you get an exception because you can't cross the streams. So you can't get from a background thread go directly to the UI thread and do something. You need to use a dispatcher, which is a way to dispatch the operation from one thread to the other. And this is the purpose of this method. This is an example of how the layout differences look. So I have a label, and the font size property is set based on platform. So I say on platform, type arguments is the type of the property. In this case, it's a double because it's the font size. And then I say, well, on Windows Phone it's 20, on iOS it's 25, on Android it's 30. So I can leverage the differences between the different platforms. Skip the demo because I don't think it's really important. The last important piece of Xamarin Forms are custom renderers, which are very important because custom renderers are how Xamarin Forms work, basically. Custom renderers are a way to customize the look and feel of a control tailored for each platform. So with a custom renderer, you are able to get access to the real control that is implemented when you define a XAML control. So Xamarin Forms under the hood has a lot of renderers for all the controls. So when you add a label control on your page, what happens is that there's a custom renderer that takes the label and on Android creates an edit text. On Windows Phone creates a text block. On iOS creates a UI text view. You can take advantage of these custom renderers also for yourself. In case you need to do something from the visual or the control, from the controls look and feel, both visual or both logic, that is specific for that APIs. Or maybe you want to leverage some features that are not exposed by Xamarin Forms. Let's see a sample to help you to understand that. How does it work? In the portable class library, you create a custom control, which is the same concept of the Windows Phone XAML. So it's a control that can be placed into the page. It's a custom control. And then you have a renderer for each platform. Each renderer will tell to Xamarin Forms how this custom label needs to be rendered. And the connection between the control and the renderer is made here. So you decorate the renderer with an attribute which says the name of the control and the name of the renderer you want to use. Let's see a real example, and in step 4, which is this one, I have created a new control which is called custom search. Lot of code, as you can see. Basically, usually the custom control does nothing more than inherits from a base control, because you are extending an already existing control. So when you add this control in XAML, you simply do this like in a Windows Phone application. So I go here. I declare the namespace, of the control. I place the control into the xamarinforms.step4.controls namespace, and then I use it and I add it here. Since it inherits from the original search bar control, what happens is that I have access to all the properties and methods of the control. So here I can do text, I can subscribe to the search button, press event, stuff like that. Then in the specific projects, I have a custom renderer. Xamarin Forms offers a base renderer for each control. So you have a label renderer, a search bar renderer, an entry renderer. This case is a search bar, so we use a search bar renderer. And when you inherit from this class, you can override the onElementChanged method, which is triggered every time the control needs to be rendered. So here is where we can intercept the rendering flow and change the behavior. In this case, we are trying to limit the number of chars that you can type into the search box. So how we can do this? Since now we are in the platform-specific project, we have access to a property called control, which is the control that is used to map this Xamarin Forms control. So we can see that when we are using a search bar in Xamarin Forms, instead in Windows Phone we are converting it into a phone text box control. And since a phone text box control simply has a property called max length to define the maximum number of chars, we simply set it to 10. And then we have the definition of the attribute that connects the two things together. If we see the same on Android the code is the same. It's a little bit more verbose because the search bar in Android is a complex control and it's implemented using a control called... It's not working with the IntelliSense. But what I do here is that I grab a reference to the text, to the edit text, and I add a input filter length, which is a way to filter the number of chars. And I'm saying that it should be maximum 10. So now, when I launch the application on Windows Phone, if I place a breakpoint here, and I launch this application, not again the 10 emulator. Oh, okay, don't worry. Okay, it's loading. If I go in the search page, you can see that the breakpoint of the custom renderer for Windows Phone has been triggered. So now I have type, at some point I'm not able to add any more chars. So this way we've been able to add a new feature to a control which isn't exposed by Xamarin Forms. Xamarin Forms doesn't expose with a property the maximum length of a string in a text box control. We have done it for Xamarin instead of Xamarin. So, just a recap. Xamarin Forms, as you see, it's very powerful and it's for sure the simplest way to do cross-platform development. However, everything is not, there's a downside. The downside is that Xamarin Forms works great when you're working on a prototype, so you need to deliver a prototype to the customer, or a business app, data entry, stuff like that. If you want to create an application that integrates a lot with the platform, that does a lot of things with Bluetooth and NFC, HealthKit, Android Wear, stuff which is very different from each platform, or it exists only on one platform, like HealthKit or Android Wear, it's not the best solution. It's not the best solution also if you need to have layouts which are very different from each other. So, okay, we are following the guidelines of the platform because the XAML controls are rendered into native controls, but the application looks the same on each platform. If you want, for example, that on iOS things are moved in a position, in Android in another, we want something that is displayed only on Android, we can do it, but probably it's not the best. In all these cases, if you want to have a full power, full control of the over the platform features, and full flexibility over the UI, it's better to use the standard Xamarin approach. Questions? Database in Xamarin is one of the things that can be shared, meaning that you can have a common portable class library that is shared across all different platforms. Databases are implemented using SQLite, which is a popular open source database, which is a disconnected database, which means that it's not like SQL Server or MySQL, where you have a DBMS that takes care of handling the request, but this database is stored into a file, and the file lives in the storage of the application. All the Android and iOS support SQLite out of the box, while on Windows you need to download these extensions that will give the library to you. Here are the links. I have made them just because I wanted to use the AKEMS Euroshorter for the first time. Just joking. You have an extension for Windows Phone 8.1, Windows 8.1, and also a preview version for the Universal Windows Platform or Windows 10. The code required to manage the database can be included in a PCL, Portable Class Library. So the data layer is shared across all the platforms. The only code you need to manage, so it's something that, for example, needs to be passed as parameter or is injected from the outside, is that you need to use the platform-specific APIs for the storage. Because as we've seen before, you have different APIs to manage the local storage of Windows, Windows Phone, Android, and iOS. You have two options to use SQLite. Well, three. But when it comes to cross-platform across Windows, iOS, and Android, you have two. The first one is a portable class library created by MS OpenTech. MS OpenTech is a division by Microsoft that is dedicated to open source projects. And it's a portable class library that can be used on all the platforms. And it has a standard query support. So it's not an OREM, or an Object Relationship Manager. Do you know what is an OREM? More or less. An OREM, we'll see better later. But basically, you work here with SQL. So you perform SQL queries against the database. And you have access to all the SQLite features. So this is an example of how you create a table. You write the SQL query to create the table, and then you prepare and you perform it. The pros of using portable class library is that you have access to all the SQLite features. Since you are using plain SQL, you can do everything you want. And it's easy to reuse code from other platforms. So if you have, for example, a website that does the same queries, just copy them. They are queries. The cause is that since it works with plain SQL, it doesn't work like an application with rows, with classes and objects, but it works with rows, which means that you have to convert the rows into objects and the other side. So when you, for example, you have a collection of data, when you want to store this data into a database, you need to convert them in rows. And when you get the rows back, you need to convert them back in a collection of objects that you can use in your application. The other solution is SQLite.net, which is another open source project, not by Microsoft this time, which is instead a basic ORM, an object relationship mapper. It's basically a class that takes care of converting, writing the SQL for you. So in the application, you work with collections and objects, and under the hood, it takes care of generating the SQL code needed to perform the operation. So for example, if you want to insert an item into a table, you call a method called insert, and you pass the object you want to insert. Under the hood, the library takes care of generating the insert into name of the columns, values, and so on. It's available on NuGet and Xamarin Component Store, and this is an example of how it works. So you still work with classes and objects. To get all the users, I query the table and I ask out a list. And I don't get back a list of rows that I need to parse manually. I get a list of person that I, for example, directly display in a list view control. The pros is that it's much more simple to use. You don't have to know SQL very well to use it. And you keep working with objects instead of rows. So you keep using the approach, the traditional objective-oriented programming that you work when you create application. The downside is that it doesn't support all the features provided by SQLite. So, for example, if you have a lot of tables with a lot of relationships between the tables and you need to perform queries that get data joined from the different tables, it's not the best solution because it doesn't support them out of the box. There's also another approach, which is EDA.NET. EDA.NET should be familiar to the old .NET developer. It's the library embedded in the .NET framework used to perform queries against the database. I left it as last because the EDA.NET library is part of the Mono project. So it works just on Android and iOS. On Windows and Windows Phone, you don't have the EDA.NET library. So it can be used to share code only across Android and iOS. But the approach is the same of the portable class library we've seen before. So you have plain SQL statements, and you have methods to perform queries that doesn't return a value, like insert and update, methods that perform queries that instead returns a list of view, or methods to perform queries that return a single numeric value, like account. This is an example. As you can see, it's pretty similar to the first one we've seen. So we are writing the real SQL statements and we are performing it. In this case, it creates a command, and the command is executed using non-query, execute non-query because it's a method that doesn't return anything. It just creates the table and the objects.